Lee had used quick marching. He had used his interior lines initially when McClellan was below Richmond and Pope was operating up in central Virginia. It was much harder for those Union armies to reinforce each other or to move from one point to another than for Lee's army to move from near Richmond over to near Culpeper. So he'd used those interior lines. He had taken great risks in dividing his army twice, and he had won a great victory. Pope was removed from command. He only got one chance in Virginia. He was unpopular with a lot of people. Off he went to Minnesota, which is about as far as you could be sent as a Union commander to deal with the Sioux Indians who had taken advantage of the big fight between the white Northerners and the white Southerners to rise up in Minnesota and try to reestablish their control over their ancient land. So off goes Pope to Minnesota. Lincoln had to have another commander to take Pope's place, and he reluctantly turned to George B. McClellan. McClellan comes back to be in command of all the troops now in Washington, all of the units from the Army of the Potomac, and all of the units from Pope's Army of Virginia. Now, the question, the immediate question is, why would Lincoln do this? He was so fed up with McClellan and McClellan's behavior over a long period of time. Why bring him back? And the answer is really quite simple. There's no one else available with any experience commanding an army. And more than that, McClellan had more than once showed his genius, really, at organization. And he had this wonderful bond with his soldiers. They would feel better having McClellan back. He could bring order out of chaos. He was the obvious man for the job, even though he and Lincoln had this history of difficult relations. McClellan came back in command and did just what Lincoln had hoped he would do. He did re-inspirit the army. And that set up a confrontation between Lee and McClellan, another confrontation. And let's move now to Lee's decision to continue the momentum generated in his victories at the Seven Days and Second Manassas by carrying the war across the Potomac frontier. Lee lost very little time after Second Manassas in preparing for a movement into Maryland. A number of factors went into his decision to do so. As always, he wanted to maintain the initiative. As I've said before, he was never comfortable being in the position of merely reacting to what his opponent was doing. He wanted to be the one who was dictating. And the way to do that was to continue his momentum here, to carry the war into the enemy's territory. Otherwise, he would simply be sitting still and awaiting McClellan's next move. So that's part of what's going on. There was also a huge logistical component to what Lee wanted to accomplish. Northern and North Central Virginia had been ravaged because of the presence of the armies maneuvering back and forth across their territory. You didn't have to have wanton destruction to have significant logistical losses. If an army merely camped for one day in the vicinity of a farmer's land, it would be catastrophic for that farmer. The fences would disappear, the livestock would likely disappear, they'd drink the farmer's well dry, they would trample the crops, or if they were capable of being harvested and used for forage, they'd probably be taken for that. It would be absolutely a disaster. A one-day visit from an army, and these armies had been operating in northern and north central Virginia for a good while. Lee wanted to pull the war out of that part of Virginia and give the farmers, those whose crops hadn't been ruined, a chance to get the fall crops in, which would then be used by the armies. Lee thought that if he went north of the Potomac, he could live off the land there. He could gather food and fodder from the Maryland countryside and eventually move into Pennsylvania, into the Cumberland Valley, and do it there. So there's a two-sided potential advantage logistically. Give a respite to Northern Virginia, take supplies from Maryland and perhaps from Pennsylvania. He also thought he could harass the Federals from a position west of Washington. They wouldn't like him up there. He knew they would follow him if he went. They'd have to. He thought that if he could remain north, this is much like Braxton Bragg, remain north long enough, he could perhaps have some influence on voting in the elections in November. He also, like Bragg, thought that he would have Marylanders, as Bragg thought he'd have Kentuckians, flock to his army. The Confederates really did believe Maryland was being held in the Union at the point of bayonets. They thought that the presence of a Confederate army would make a huge difference. What they didn't quite understand is that Western Maryland was strongly Unionist. If they'd marched through Baltimore, a lot of men would have come forward. Eastern Maryland, much more Confederate. They're going to be in the wrong part of Maryland.